You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabach.
It is time for Act 3 on this Friday night edition of Nightlight. Great to have you here, folks. Rob Thomas is my guest. We will be back with Rob in just a moment. If you missed our discussion last hour, feel free to go to civicmedia.us and check it out. We were talking about Oscars and our reactions to the nominations, which dropped yesterday. If you missed our number one, that might be worth a listen to the podcast at civicmedia.us. Joseph Williams, the lead singer of Toto, was here. We had a great time talking to Joseph about his career with Toto and his famous father, John Williams, who is probably the most famous film composer of all time. And that was a lot of fun as well. There were no sneezes tonight, no toenails flying into, or fingernails, I should say, flying into coffee. Last night's show was a lot more gross. Would you agree with that, Con?
Yeah, I would say you need to, you know, more.
Seriously? I thought you had matured since last night, and you didn't need to play that over. Especially we have a guest, Conrad. And you're playing.
Well,
disgusting,
I thought
gross
Rob would
sneeze.
Like to hear that because it was pretty loud. So
why on earth would
impressive.
Rob want to hear me?
It was okay. Impressive.
You agree to disagree.
No, I agree. If you're going to sneeze, let it fly. It's dangerous to try and smother it.
That's the voice of Rob Thomas, our guest, who has agreed to stick around a little bit into Act 3 here. It's horrible, Rob. I don't know if I can't. That was gross because I'm coming off a cold here, and it was just, it's a horrible thing. Because usually I sneeze loud, and my kids go, God, Dad, really? Like, they think I'm doing it on purpose, and I can't control it.
Yeah, I mean, a dad sneeze is a thing of beauty, though. I have my own patented sneeze. Kids mock before, so yeah.
Well, if it ever comes up during the show, feel free to share the Rob sneeze, the dad sneeze, whatever.
We appreciate that. I appreciate this being a safe space.
Exactly. All right. So we were talking about the Oscars, and I think we were on. Amy Madigan. You said you kind of predicted would win for her role in Weapons, and she was great. And did we say? Did you have a male supporting actor?
No, we didn't talk about supporting actor.
Okay.
I would lean towards Benicio del Toro, One Battle After Another. I think he's so fantastic in that movie, playing Sensei. Such a funny, warm, and in his own way, like, very heroic character, right? Like, he's keeping that resistance together in a very empathetic way. And is very grounded. And I mean, again, another actor who's been so good for so long that that's the one I lean towards. Although you didn't see Frankenstein, did you?
I have not seen Frankenstein yet.
I mean, Jacob Elordi is amazing as Frank. Like, it's a whole other kind of acting than I've seen from him or in movies this year. Like, it's almost like interpretive dance in a weird way. So So if anybody would take it from Benicio, I think it would be him.
Okay. I'm going to not think out the box. I'm going to go kind of conservative here and go with Sean Penn, because he's just been there so many times, which works against him, I think. And he's controversial and all that, but he was great. Like, the choices he made, I felt could have been way over the top, but they totally grew on me. And I thought he became the character. I thought he was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Such an eccentric weirdo, but so,
yeah.
And such a good villain, but also so pathetic and kind of funny. And he's great. And I would not, like, there's very few, especially in the acting, where I'd be like, oh, that's too bad they won instead of somebody else.
Right.
There's a lot of really good performances last year.
And I loved Benicio del Toro too, but I almost thought like he was not even in the movie as much as I would have liked him to have been.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
But he was outstanding. Director, got a prediction?
That's interesting. I mean, I would say Paul Thomas Anderson for one battle, just because he's never won. And like, I mean,
is that true?
I believe that's true. Yeah. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But
no, I'm sure you're right.
But again, you know, go back to Sinners. Ryan Coogler was just, that's such an amazing film. That film takes such big swings and connects with nearly all of them. It's so entertaining. That would, you know, I almost would like to see them split best director and best film, because I like those so much. But
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. But I would say, if I'm predicting, I'd say probably Paul Thomas Anderson.
Okay. I couldn't argue with that. I mean, as much as I think Ryan Coogler, I mean, has he won an Oscar for Panther or anything? Like, not maybe for director, but
yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Yeah.
But I'm with you. I think a split there would be great, actually, even though it would be totally conciliatory. Like, they're just doing it to make both of them happy out of respect. You know what I mean?
Right.
It'd be hard to argue with that. Very cool. Hey, I want to ask you, pardon me, about another film you saw, Dead Man's Wire. And I feel like I might have brought this up last time, but I don't remember what you said about it. But I know it gets compared to Dog Day Afternoon, a great 70s film with Al Pacino and John. I can't think of his last name.
John Cazale.
Cazale, yeah. Good movie, huh?
Great movie, yeah. And it's very 70s. So it's Gus Van Sant, who made like Good Will Hunting and Drugstore Cowboy. It's his first movie in a while. And it really felt like watching a 70s movie, like Dog Day or Taking a Pelham 1-2-3, just the way it's shot, and the performances are sort of like a little bit quirky, the way in a 70s movie. And it is like about a hostage situation based on a true story, I think in Indianapolis in 1977, where this guy felt like his mortgage company screwed him over on a land deal that took an employee hostage. And then there was sort of like a media circus around it for the next 36 hours. And just, I mean, it's just a really well-made movie. And like I said, if you love like those Turner classic movies, 70s thrillers, like, you'd love it. It's really fun to watch.
Yeah, I got to see that. One thing I wanted to go back to, too, with the Oscars, there was another record that was set in the nominations. And I just read this today, I think on NPR.org, that there were four non-English speaking actors nominated, too. Three from Sentimental Value, and then your guy Wagner Moura.
That's great. Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. That's never
happened before. Yeah, that's awesome.
One more thing about movies: A Chronology of Water. Kristen Stewart. Is this her first time directing? How was that?
I thought it was good. I was having a little trouble with it at first. It's very experimental. It's based on a memoir by this writer, and kind of follows from when she's like a teenager and has an abusive father to kind of college and sort of a failed marriage and eventually kind of finds her voice as a writer. It's so experimental, it plays with different film stocks, and like sometimes there are flashes of images and you don't know what you're really looking at, and some things flash forward and some things flash back. But once I kind of got into it, I was really enjoying it. And it's something very different. I mean, she definitely used all her, I think, her movie star cred to make the movie the way she wanted to make it. I guess she's been working on it for like 10 years. It's really good. And then the one thing I loved was like at one point in the film, she takes a class with Ken Kesey, who's the famous
Mary
Prankster, who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And he's played by Jim Belushi. And he is fantastic. Wow. Like I would never have thought of him in that role. And he's really fantastic in it. So that was like a nice little like, oh my gosh, Jim Belushi's in this and he's great. So like that film like popped in and out of theater so quickly. And
yeah,
not get any Oscar attention, but if it's on streaming and you're looking for something, you know, a little challenging, I thought it was pretty rewarding.
That's awesome. Have you seen any of the films that are in theaters right now, Rob? Any like Primate or some of these other films?
The last thing I saw was the Coral, and that's gone, I think, the Ray Fiennes one. That was good. And I'm looking forward to Send Help. Have you seen the trailer for that, the new Sam Raimi movie?
It's like I love Sam Raimi.
Somebody described it as like a cross between Castaway and Misery, where these two people are trapped on a desert island and they're at each
other. And it's like her boss.
Yeah, and he's a jerk. So I'm looking forward to that. But I don't know, like, it's been a little, I mean, January is always a little bit slim, and a lot of times you're catching up with films that came out over the holidays that you missed.
Yeah. All right, let's talk. You have a great article about sandwiches in Madison, and who doesn't love a sandwich? It's right. All American. You know, Madison's got such great restaurants and diners and all that kind of stuff. I was upset that I've never tasted one on the list. And I've eaten at a few places in Madison over the years, but what did you find? Where is your favorite sandwich in Madison?
That's a good question. So there's a place, Cassetta, this downtown, that is like known as like great sandwiches. There's always a line out the door during the week at lunch. They often sell out. That's a really good spot. There's a butcher called Meat People Butcher that has a sandwich special on Thursdays. And that's always a really, if you can, again, they sell out really quick, but if you can get one, but yeah, I put a call out to readers to be like, kind of like you do on the show, where you're like, what's your favorite sandwich? And people are passionate about their sandwiches. Like whether it's Melio's or like a fancy, you know, a fancy $20 sandwich at some bistro, people love their sandwiches here. And so it was really fun to see the range of responses. One person just wrote back and said, BLT with Miracle Whip.
I saw that.
You can't argue with that. That's a great sandwich. Yeah.
My guest is Rob Thomas. He is a Madison-based film critic and the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. We just have a couple more minutes. Dry January, Rob, you guys wrote about that as well. How is that going for you? And people are drinking less, it seems like, if the numbers don't lie, nationwide. Have you found that to be the case in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I know a couple of people who are doing it. And hey, more power to them. Not me. Nope. No, I mean, it's 11 below right now. I'm not participating in dry January. But yeah, I mean, it's become this huge thing. Like, my wife works at a wine store, and it seems like every day there's more and more shelf space devoted to mocktails and CBD drinks. And I mean, it's a real thing. It's
a real
movement. Yeah.
That's interesting. Last question for you. We've got about a minute left. Your article about vitamin therapy, for those of us who aren't familiar with that. I'm certainly not. And maybe a lot of the listeners, what is that?
I didn't know anything about it either. Yeah. It's this growing thing. I had no idea. We did an interview on the podcast with somebody who's opening this IV vitamin therapy. And I looked around, and there's some other places around town where basically you lie in a chair and a nurse like hooks up an IV to you and you get your vitamins just like downloaded right into your system. And some people swear by, especially for hangover remedies, because it's just like, boom, you get it turns you around in a second. Others, if you've got jet lag or if you have more serious conditions and you can't get vitamins, you know, maybe digestive issues and stuff. It's kind of the hot new thing. I know a lot of wellness influencers talk about it, but it's starting to become more available to the masses.
Rob, thank you so much as always, buddy. This was really fun. Have a great weekend. Stay warm and take those vitamins.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Pete. Good talking to you.
Buddy. All right. Rob Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, check out CityCast Madison. It's a crackling good read. And we will be right back to read your text. It's Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Thanks for spending your Friday evening with us, folks. It is a very cold night, and it's going to be a very cold weekend. So stay warm and, you know, cuddle up, listen to the radio, watch some color television, do what you have to do. Our question of the night, you still have time to get in on the fun, is tomorrow is National Compliment Day. Who or what do you want to compliment? You can be creative, you can be sarcastic, or you can be, it can be sweet and heartfelt. So let us know who you would like to compliment, and we will read it on the radio. Stacy Sue says, I would, and I am complimenting Conrad and Pete for being positive and upbeat. Well, thank you, Stacy. We try to do that on a nightly basis. Stacy also says, apple pie is my fave. It's funny that of all the pies, nobody said apple pie yet. Well done, Stacy. Stacy Sue, pardon me, also says, Conrad is Pete's Ed McMahon. You know who that is, Con?
I had to look it up.
Look it up, okay. That's good. You could be, you could do worse. That's a good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm
did very
fine
well
with it.
For himself. Did the Tonight Show, had some side hustles. Casey James on the stream says, bye bye, American. Now, here's the problem.
I don't know.
That much time go by.
Just American.
Yeah, he's just saying maybe he's leaving the country.
Bye bye.
I don't know.
American Pie, isn't it?
So, I hope not.
Isn't the lyrics something like that?
Yeah, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. So he's missing a couple elements there, but we'll just read the text and give him credit for it. Thank you for being part of the show, Casey. If you want to explain that, by all means, please do. And then Jack from Merrimack on the from the 608. Where's Jack's text? I just had it. Here we go. In the 414 says, my compliments to my son's mom. Even though she didn't want to stay married, at least to me, about the time he was four or so, she kept me in his life and did a great job raising him since he was living at her place. She and her husband and I and my wife celebrated his college graduation together. Thanks, Lou. That is a really great text. And it, Jack, it sounds like you were the very mature man there and did the right thing. And outstanding stuff, buddy. Great text and a great compliment, too, to who sounds like a very nice person. I had something I wanted. Oh, Mike Strelo. This was funny. Was our question last night your first record, or was it like 2 nights ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So Mike Strelo, Milwaukee news anchor who's been on the show and is also from Marinette, chimed in. He sent me a message over Facebook saying his first 45 RPM was Sugar Sugar by the Archies. That's a great one. And his first album was Foreigner. And he bought Foreigner in a Marinette music store at the recommendation of the clerk. And you don't even remember this probably, Con, because you grew up in a time where there were no record stores, but you used to go into a record store and like, whether the clerk knew anything or not, the clerk acted like they knew everything about music. And it's like, okay, you're making $5 an hour. You're not in the music business. You just have opinions. But a lot of times they did, and sometimes they didn't know what they were talking about.
I can relate this to one thing is I did grow up with Blockbusters and Family Videos.
Yeah.
And the people behind the counters there felt like they knew movies.
Correct.
But I did like that when I was, you know, whatever age I was and looking through the movies and then just setting my eyes on one of those movies that I really wanted to see. It was a cool time.
Yeah. No, video stores are great. I miss video stores. I miss record stores. I miss video stores. We had in Menominee, Michigan, Family Video, and they had adult films, which I thought was nice. They had pornos the whole family could enjoy, which is great.
Yeah, nice. You would go to the back. Well, yeah. You know.
Mom and the kids would pick out a you know.
A nice kid-friendly movie. Be like, I'm going to go check out the back quick.
And I would go out back and rent Stocks and Blondes, you know. so it was just a wholesome store, and I missed that. But I do think it's interesting. I was at Family Video once, and two movies that I have that were produced, The Godfather of Green Bay and A Guy Thing, were on the shelf for whatever reason, kind of next to each other. And a guy in line with me goes, hey, those are your two movies. I said, yeah. And I said, you know, I guess Godfather, Guy Thing, maybe the G's. I don't know how they got in the same area, but he turns to the clerk and says, this guy wrote both of those movies. And you'd think in a small town in upper Wisconsin, Michigan, that's kind of a weird thing. It's not common. And I have no ego, but I did think it was kind of cool. And the clerk went, uh-huh. The same reaction that somebody brought a movie in that they didn't rewind, I got for writing two of the movies at their store. I didn't write any of the pornos. I want to go on record and say that. But well, I think yeah, I could have done a better job.
Whenever you, you know, get, you know, you did it for studying, you know, when you got, when you went to the back.
Research.
Yes, exactly. You were like, what? I can make these better somehow. How can I do that? And you'd rent, you know, five at a time.
Just to do the research. I did my homework. I've always been a bearer for detail. And I think one of our intros is a guy who tried to break into porn but didn't have the acting chops.
Yeah.
Well, it's not for lack of trying. I did my homework. I took porno acting classes where they teach you how to say,
You oh, see, that's about it. You didn't want to do the acting part. You wanted to produce them. You wanted to direct them.
I wanted creative control. Exactly.
I get that.
And the acting was just a way to get to that point. And the problem was I never wanted to take my clothes off, and they had an issue with that. And you know what? I said, Me Too movement, back off. No thanks. We are going to break for news, sports, and weather here, folks. And when we come back, there will be, sadly, no bar band Friday tonight because Terry Barr is under the weather, and I believe Rocker is too. So Conrad and I are going to give each other, he's going to give me a Marinette quiz.
Yep.
And I'm going to give him a quiz about the guests we've had on Nightlight over the last 2 years that I truly appreciate and compliment. We're coming right back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Great to have you with me, folks, on this frigid, cold Friday night here in Wisconsin. It is cold all over the state, maybe a little colder where we are here in Northeast Wisconsin, but either way, just a ridiculous bout of cold we're dealing with here in Wisconsin. So stay warm out there, folks. We've got a great show coming up on Monday as well. Mike Clemens will be here. We're going to talk some Badgers, maybe some Bucks. Maybe he'll put a little bow on the Packers season and the NFL playoffs. The Super Bowl will be set, Con, when Mike is here on Monday. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I expect the Patriots versus Seahawks is my prediction.
Yeah, how can it not be, right? I mean, the backup quarterback is not going to beat the Patriots, right?
I'm not going to lie. I am rooting for the backup quarterback, Jarrett Stidham.
I would love that.
It would be awesome. Like, I have no, like, I'm not rooting for anyone besides, I guess it would be cool to see Davante Adams win another ring, but that's it. I don't really care who wins now.
You're pretty desperate there, though, as, in terms of finding someone to cheer for, one guy, you know? Like, I don't, like, do you even care? Once your team is out of it, and my team hasn't been in the playoffs in so long, but now that they're out of it and they could have probably, should have probably won last week, it'll be hard for me to watch the games. I will.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's hard
to cheer for someone.
I still watch football because I know that there's only like 3 weeks left of it. So I'm going to be. Yeah. Yeah.
I think if I have to pick someone, I'm going to go for the Seahawks. I'd love to see Sam Darnold.
Yeah. It is a great story about Sam Darnold. He just needed the right situation. And once he found that, he's a great quarterback, elite.
Agreed. So Mike Clemens will be here Monday in the first hour. Chip Chinnery from Chip's Money Tips and a very funny stand-up comedian will be here in the second hour at 6:35 on Monday. And then the legendary, iconic Sean Cassidy joins the show at 7:35 p.m. on Monday. Sean was a pop star in the 70s. His brother David Cassidy was in the Partridge Family. Their dad, I think his name was Jack. I look that up before the interview, but Sean was a big time star and a big time teen heartthrob back in the late 70s and early 80s. He'll be here at 7:35. He's got a show in Milwaukee coming up. We could do like a double feature and go see. Actually, he might be in Green Bay. I gotta check my notes, but he is coming to Wisconsin and he will probably get one blast of the weather and turn around and go back. but that's okay. So that's Monday night. Hope you'll be here with us, folks. We'll have another fun question. You can answer our question of the night. If you still want to get in on the fun, is who or what would you compliment? Tomorrow is National Compliment Day. And today is also National Pie Day. So you can tell us what your favorite pie is. It's so funny that we joked about mincemeat pie. And then Ollie from the Northwoods yeah. said she loved mincemeat pie. And I'm like, is there meat in it? She goes, there actually used to be. And what did she say? Is now it's like raisins and
yeah, raisins and
nuts or something like
yeah,
that?
Something like that.
Yeah, still doesn't do it for me, but
yeah.
Either way, what else we got, Con? We're gonna do our quiz in just a moment. I'm excited about that.
It's also National Handwriting Day.
Today?
Yeah. Do you got a nice signature?
No, I don't. I really don't because I have to put my first two initials in mine because I'm Thomas Peter. So if I write the name out, it confuses people when I get paid or social security number or whatever. It's a nightmare. It's not a nightmare. It's a signature. But, you know, it's very inconvenient at times. So I don't know. What about you? Did you learn cursive?
Yes, I did. But
okay.
I would say my penmanship sucks. I grew up in a time when we actually, like, I'd say 10th grade for me. Is around the time where we all got like Chromebooks and stuff that we could take notes and stuff on. So like after that, I never like had to write anything down pretty much. So my signature is just kind of scribbles.
And you know, it's a muscle. Like when you write, when I have to write stuff, even like, I mean, obviously longhand, but when I'm just printing, it's not good because I haven't used those muscles in ages. I wouldn't say it was ever great to begin with.
Yeah, I would say same. Mine was never great to start.
Yeah.
And now it's just worse. So
here's something before we do our quiz, I want to get to this. This is supposedly I saw this on the New York Post, of course, so you know it's true. The world's oldest snowball, it's appropriate for our weather, is turning 50. A 64-year-old man claims he has the world's oldest snowball, which was formed nearly 50 years ago in February of 1976. He was a teenager, and it's been safely stored in a freezer ever since. His mom put it in a peanut butter jar and saved it in the freezer. And it was formed 50 years ago in 1976. The guy was 14 at the time. And that was the first time he experienced fresh snow. So he saved the snowball, and his mom, Betty, kept it in a Skippy peanut butter jar in the freezer for decades. And it even lasted when he moved from, or he drove from San Jose, California to Reno, Nevada. He packed it in dry ice so that it would make it, even though he was stressed out about it the whole way. Can you imagine being stressed out about something like that? But when it lasts that long, I get it. And he says the snow has shifted from a ball to what is now more of a blob. And he wants his kids to inherit and carry on the tradition and keep this snowball alive.
You know,
sweet story or a little crazy?
I guess, you know, it's cool. But now he always has something to protect himself at home.
Snowball?
Yeah, like he's got an intruder. Don't I got a snowball. Don't come any closer.
Yeah, but if you do that, first of all, you have one snowball.
Yeah, but you just got to be a really good shot.
You got to be a good shot. And is it worth risking the streak as to saying to someone, you know what, I'm insured, just take everything you want, I don't want to ruin my snowball. Another thing I thought was cool, and I just saw this when we were in Milwaukee over the last weekend. We were in a hotel room and my daughter and I were up late trying to find something, a good sitcom to watch, and usually you can find a Seinfeld or whatever, but we found some outlet was playing News Radio with Phil Hartman, Stephen Root, Dave Foley, Maura Kelly, I think is the actress's name, Andy Dick, and Joe Rogan, who plays kind of the tech guy. And his character's name is Joe. And I found this today. I thought this was interesting. Ray Romano was originally cast in that role, but was really bad. They fired him after 2 days because he was so low key. I mean, you know how Ray Romano talks. He's got that kind of deadpan. Yeah. And they wanted him to be more fast talking. So they fired Ray, hired a guy for the pilot, and then fired him, and Joe Rogan got the part. So we more or less have News Radio to thank for the Joe Rogan experience.
That's like, great.
Listen, I, I don't hate Joe Rogan. Like, I used to like listening to him announce the UFC events. He's really good at that. He wasn't a great comic. And his podcast, he's just kind of full of it. He has these guests on that are just, he claims he's a curious guy, but he steers conversations and does it just for politics now. So I kind of blame Ray Romano for the Joe Rogan experience, because I don't think he'd be as popular right now if he didn't get that role on news radio. But the UFC stuff, I can't even watch anymore. And I will give him props. He was good. He knows his stuff there. But it's hard to watch those events now. Just a bunch of dudes in Affliction t-shirts looking a little crazy. You ever go to one of those?
No.
Any desire?
I went to an MMA event very long time ago.
Okay.
And that was all right.
I appreciate the art form and the contest. You know, I love martial arts, but I don't know, man. All right. So I thought, since we don't have Terry Barr tonight, folks, if you're just joining us, Terry is not here tonight. She's under the weather, and Rocker couldn't join us either, as it turns out. We thought we had Rocker filling in, but that fell through at the last moment too. They are co-hosts. Maybe they got each other sick. I don't know. But Conrad and I decided that instead of scrambling to find another guest, we would take, we would give each other a quiz, because we do this from time to time here at Nightlight. And Conrad is going to give me a quiz on my adopted hometown, which is Marinette, Wisconsin. And I'm going to give him a quiz on all the guests we've had on Nightlight that I've complimented throughout the
great day.
You want to go first, Con?
Yeah, we can do this Marinette quiz.
Because this is going to be tough. The guest quiz is tough. I hope you brushed up during breaks tonight.
So all right. Let's do my quiz. You know, I'll give you this Marinette quiz. Then we can breeze through it.
Love it.
All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
Marinette was once nicknamed which of the following? A, Christmas City, USA. B, the Lumber Queen of the World. C, that town not in Michigan, but close. Or D, Green Bay North.
It's B, baby. Yes, we are the lumber capital of Marinette County.
All right, number two, one for one. Which industry helped make Marinette one of Wisconsin's largest cities in the late 1800s? Was it A, dance, B, shipbuilding, C, lumber milling, or D, cheese curd making?
Whatever the letter for the number, the lumber.
Yes, a C.
Listen, now it's the dance capital. Also the dance capital of Marinette County. Yeah. Wow, we're jamming. We got it going on here. All right, two for two.
All right. The Menominee River forms a boundary between Wisconsin and which Michigan county? Is it A, Washington County, B, Dickinson County, C, Menominee County, or D, Milwaukee County?
You know, I'm actually glad this is multiple choice, because I thought it was Menominee County, but then I'm like, wait a minute. Is it not? It's Menominee County.
Yes. All right. Three for three.
All right.
Which famous Wisconsin-born author spent part of her life in Marinette? Is it A, J.K. Rowling? Is it B, Patricia Swaba? C, Edna Ferber? Or D, Laura Wilder?
Wow. Either way, I'm going to learn something here I did not know. Edna Ferber.
Yes, that's correct.
I got to go to the Google. What did Edna Ferber write? She spent time in Marinette?
Yeah, spent part of her life in Marinette.
Wow, that's insane. Okay.
All right, so you're four for four. Going on to number five here. What was the main reason Marinette declined in population after 1900s? Was it A, not enough cheese, B, collapse of the lumber industry, C, major flooding of the city, or D, they hated the Upers?
B, the lumber industry went down.
Five for five.
It all comes back to lumber. Yeah. In Marinette. Honestly, there were lumber barons here. It was a gay time.
All right. Which historic mansion in Marinette reflects the city's lumber boom wealth? Was it A, the Fairlawn Mansion, B, Old Sorry Mansion, C, Marinette Manor, or D, Riverside Estate?
Riverside Estate.
What? It's the Fairlawn Mansion.
I'd like to throw the challenge flag. What is that? What is the Fairlawn Mansion?
It's a mansion with a fair lawn.
'Twas a fair lawn in front of said mansion. Come on.
We got about 1 minute here, so.
I'm not finding anything about Edna Ferber here in Marinette. Where did you find that?
Fun facts about Marinette.
Was it the Wikipedia? Okay.
No.
All right, let's do one more.
All right. The Marinette Menominee era is once among the top U.S. cities in which category per capita? Was it A, crooners, B, millionaires, C, cheese curd eaters, or D, quick trips?
What was B?
Millionaires.
Millionaires.
That is correct.
Whoa. How did I do?
You're 7-8 right now.
Okay, 7-8. All right. Let's do the break and we'll come back and I'll give you, maybe you can give me one more and then we'll close the show with your guest quiz. All right, fantastic. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We are coming back to wrap this thing up on a Friday, a chilly Friday night. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Got a few more texts here. Our question of the night was, who or what would you like to compliment? John Murray from the 608 says, my highest compliment today goes to Alien Hands. Yes,
Conrad. Thank you.
Know why. I don't need to get real particular. We know why. Do you think Terry could have caught gigantism from you or the alien hands?
Oh, yeah, over the stream. I don't know.
That could happen. Something to think about moving forward. From the 818, Bridget says, my husband, who is a great father and wonderful husband. That's a pretty good compliment. Thank you, Bridget, from the 818. Excellent stuff. John, again, from Madison says, Conrad, you are a saint. All right.
Thank you. Now,
John's just overdoing it. John says, Peter is so blessed.
You know why? You know why? Because I always call back. That's why. Happy New Year's.
You added something to that. I think you added a sound effect to that. John says, how hard would you whip that ball at your brother? What does that mean?
The snowball.
Oh, the snowball.
The 50-year-old snowball.
Well, it's an ice ball now that would kill you.
That's John why it's said, a good weapon.
Well, John said all the way, ice ball hard. And he says, throw it. It's a snowball. Thank you, John. Anna from Madison in the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I want to compliment you both for having a great show. I learn a lot and laugh a lot. Also, Sean Cassidy is coming to the Barrymore Theater in Wisconsin February 18th. Oh, man. Okay, so we had Joseph Williams on tonight. He's in Milwaukee at the Riverside on February 18th. Sean Cassidy is at the Barrymore in Madison on the 18th. Decision time. I guess not if you live in a particular city. You just go based on convenience. But two great shows. John, again, in Madison says, Sally's keep the ball till it blobs out. Did it, used it, got grounded. Brother hated me for half a day. It happens. Yeah, this has been done before. I know people that have tried to keep a snowball through the summer in the freezer. John is obviously one of those people. Adventurous. Love it. All right. Why don't we... How many more questions do you have, Con?
I did 10 questions. I can do one more if you want.
All right. Why don't we do one more, and then I'll try to get through 5 on my quiz.
All right. So you're 7-8 right now. Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Here it is. The city and the county of Marinette are named after a very important woman named, is it A, Marin Etty the Fifth? Is it B, Marie Annette Chevalier? C, English settlement trader Con the Marin Kriegs? Or is it D, Vince Lombardi's daughter, Marin Lombardi?
What was B?
it was Marie Annette Chevalier.
And what was A?
Marin Etty the Fifth.
I'm going to say B.
He didn't like
it's Marie Antoinette.
Marie Antoinette Chevalier. I don't know how to say it.
I didn't recognize the Chevalier part.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. I kind of got lucky there.
The Marin Kriegs is a relative of mine. Distant, you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You could have put Ann Carla on there.
He wasn't Marinette settlement. You know, he was Green Bay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same tribe. Edna Ferber, apparently her hometown was Appleton, but she must have spent some time in Marinette. And she, like Mitzi Shore, was Jewish. And I don't think they treated Jewish people very well in Marinette, mm-hmm. which I feel bad about, even though it's my adopted hometown. So I don't know what the issue is there. Edna and Mitzi, I will get to the bottom of it, though. We cannot tolerate intolerance. All right, let's jam through as many of these questions as I can. You ready, Con?
Yeah. All right,
this is Conrad's quiz.
Okay.
Since I complimented Nightlight guests, mm-hmm. and it probably sounded like we were fishing for compliments. We got a few.
I got a couple. Thank you, John.
That was teed up there. But we'll take them. So my quiz is our guest-based quiz, and Conrad has to guess the guest.
Yes.
So, all right, here we go. Number one. This guest often sings Elvis.
Frank Hermans.
Very well done.
Wait.
This guest.
All right, thank you.
You just keep your finger on that button. Yeah. This is not that difficult. This guest can deliver a great story or baby.
Oh, Dr. Kristen Lowerly.
Yoo-hoo. Recuperating nicely. This guest talked about taking mattresses to the dump.
What can I think of her name? I know.
Hilariously.
Oh my God. Why can't I think of her name right now?
Miss Blanky blank, 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 all dressed in black, black, black. That doesn't help.
Comedian. Why can't I think of her name? I'm drawing a blank. I know who you're talking about though.
3 seconds. Three, two.
I'll give myself.
Mary Mack.
I can picture her face.
You're still 2 for 3.
Yeah.
And her voice. So
funny. Yeah.
This guest is a game show phenom.
Oh, Ben Chan.
Excellent. This guest played Lieutenant Jim Dangle on Reno 911.
Tom Lennon.
Awesome. Crushing it. This guest cleans our rivers.
Oh, Ed the Diver.
Very nice, Con.
Yeah.
This guest joins us to talk about the mob periodically.
Oh, Oh my God. I'm terrible with names. Like, you're just gonna have to say the name, and then I know who you're talking about, though. Bob Dennis.
Yes, I'll give you that one.
Couldn't think of the.
This guest brings his talented improvisers into the studio.
Oh, well, it's the DePere Improv.
Yeah. Their fearless leader.
Nick Wallander.
Yes. This guest was a Green Bay politician. Last one.
Jim Schmidt.
You crushed it, dude. Well done. Join us Monday, folks. Mike Clemens, Chip Chinnery, Sean Cassidy. It's going to be a great show. We are coming back, and we'll do it all over again. Have a great weekend. Thanks to Rob Thomas, Joseph Williams of Toto, and get well soon, Terry Barr. Thanks for all your texts and calls. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay warm. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.